This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to That Sports Show on Joy 94.9.
Good evening, Mel and Stu on That Sports Show on Joy 94.9, Wednesday the 11th of January. Hello, Stuart. Welcome back to the studio.
Thanks, Mel. It's good to be actually in the studio.
Yes, that's right. No, your volume's... How about I turn you on?
Yes, thanks, Malcolm. It's good to be in the studio. I'm sorry I'm away so long as our roving reporter.
Oh.
But I do have a couple of things coming up. One is a Usain Bolt event in Melbourne, which I'm going to be the roving reporter on, which I'm very excited about.
Well, we're actually maybe planning to do it together from trackside, but we'll see if we can arrange that. We'll see what happens.
That would be good.
Yeah. So working on that. Good to hear you now that I turned your microphone on. Your volume was up, but your microphone wasn't. This is our last one-hour show because the Chicks Talking Footy, they have messaged me and said that they're returning from their end-of-season trip. So we're looking forward to seeing the girls.
Happened on the trip stays on the trip, so we won't know.
No, that's right. The girls are in the studio, Fiona, Danae, Beck, Rachel, and, oh, my God, they'll kill me for forgetting the last one. Can you remember the last one? Motti, Susanna. Got it. You can't kill me now. So, yes, I remembered all the names. And especially with one of them being a Bombers supporter, we can never forget that. So, yes, Chicks Talking Footy returning next week at 8:30 so that they can talk everything AFL and women's AFL.
Yes.
Lovely. Now, big show tonight, Stuart, on That Sports Show. We're going to be talking cricket, soccer, cycling, athletics, golf, not gold, motorsport, running, tennis, AFL, and various other things. Because tonight, again, we have in the studio Tess, who joined us last time. Yes, I should turn you on too, Tess. Hello.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us because Tess is our breaking news reporter for the day because first day back at work for me, so very busy, hard to get the show together, but Tess is providing up-to-date breaking news. And we also will have in the studio tonight with us Graham Hairsign from Melbourne Frontrunners, who's going to talk to us all about the Pride run. And we've also got Rodrigo Reis from Brazil to talk to us all things Brazilian sport.
Yes, and lots happened in the last year. Yes, so lots to talk about there.
Yes, I'm even wearing my Brazilian tank.
Yes.
My tea bag tank in the studio.
Looks great.
What about the shorts, Stuart?
Please. I'm just so glad that
they're purple.
Radio and not television.
Your favourite shorts. I wore them to the gym tonight for rehab. Hello to Brian and to Rowan down there at Body Matrix Gym in South Melbourne for my rehab. So I wore them down at the gym there. Anyway, I thought you'd like them. You might want some.
I do like the purple, I must say, yes.
Yes, black and purple. Black with purple polka dots. So envisioning, get that word out. Anyway, so we should get on with the show. Now, Stuart, we should get into news of the week.
Yes, what about cricket? What's been happening
there? Well, what's been happening in cricket is that, again, Australia flogged Pakistan and won that third test to do a series whitewash, 3-0. But the big thing on the last day was the substitute fielder. Did you see him?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, it was more about him and his hair.
Yes.
And he'd become a new cult hero. And apparently his parents didn't even know he was playing. They thought he was supposed to be at work. So he works with budgie smugglers and the swimwear. And he told them he was supposed to be at work, but they eventually found out. And the mother was watching a really good match of tennis on the telly, and she had to be told to turn
Well, perhaps explain to the listeners what was the issue with his hair.
It was long.
It was
and
long. Long and blonde.
Long and blonde.
Blondie.
Surfy looking. So, you know, that was kind of a bit of fun.
Yes.
Now, in some controversy this week with the Big Bash, the game was played down there at Docklands Stadium between the Renegades and I can't remember who. But it was a very hot day and they had the roof closed. And do you know why I had the roof closed? Because they had to have these big televisions hanging from the roof for part of the entertainment. And so everyone was sweltering in a sauna-like conditions and they should have actually opened the roof and let a bit of hot air out.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was a bit controversial. Anyway, now, Tess has a little bit more cricket news for us. Tess?
Yes, so tonight we've got the Heat Scorchers at the Gabba at 7:40 p.m.
Yes.
And the MCG last night was the Stars defeating Adelaide Strikers.
Yeah.
The Renegades versus the Sixers was... Renegades is the season that is on brink because the Sixers defeated them by 6 wickets.
Wow. That's a big win.
Yep. And then the Stars with Ben Hilfenhaus winning the match for them. He slogged 18 off the third last over for their unlikely win, which is absolutely amazing.
And I also heard Tess, he took a couple of wickets as well.
He did.
Yeah. What was his score? Do you know? No. Okay. I think it was like 40 off about 18, from what I heard. So,
he did slog 18, yes.
No, but in one over it was 18,
yes,
yeah.
Yes.
So, good news there in the Big Bash League test. Thanks for that little update, up to date. Now, one of my favourite soccer players, Stuart, Cristiano Ronaldo, has been again named the best male player of the year at an awards gala in Zurich, Switzerland.
Yes, he's won the award for the fourth time, beating his rival Lionel Messi, who's Argentinian.
Lionel,
yes. So Cristiano Ronaldo is Brazilian, and he was rewarded...
No, he's not. He's Portuguese.
Portuguese, yes. Was rewarded for his performance in 2016 when he won the Champions League with his club Real Madrid
and
the Euro 2016 with Portugal.
Yes, wonderful.
Now, we're going to hear a bit more from our specialist Brazilian commentator about football, Olympics and other things Brazilian later in the show.
We are. Rodrigo will join us then. Now, moving on in sport, the Australian Road Cycling Championships were held on the weekend in Ballarat, and we had a win for Katrin Garfoot in the women. excuse me.
Oh. Yes, she beat Amanda Spratt in that event in Ballarat.
Oh, talking too much. Yep. she outlasted Spratt in a sprint, and Spratt had been the defending champion. So it was a race during hot conditions, over 102 kilometres at Buninyong near Ballarat. And they were ahead, a minute 27 ahead of Queenslander Lucy Kennedy, who rode excellently for third. So that's pretty good there. Katrin Garfoot. Now, in the men's, Miles Scottson lived the dream, and he launched a solo charge in the 183-kilometre race for the last 20 kilometres and rode by himself. And people were chasing him madly, but he hung on. And that is so amazing for someone to do that. You know, thinking Tour de France and things like that, it's very hard for a breakaway person to remain in front. Now, Brendan Canty was part of the race. He said, well, he gave it a big crack, but he made some mistakes and he'll learn from it. Thanks for the epic support. I don't like that word, epic.
I do.
No. Anyway, so that's the two road cycling championships which have been held. Now, this one's one for you, Stuart, one of your favourite athletes.
Yes, Caster Semenya.
Yeah, tell us all about what happened to Caster.
Well, she's happily ever after because she's
a bride or a groom.
Well, she's
or a bride.
She's preparing to marry her doting partner, Violet.
No, they already got married, Stuart.
Yes, and the Instagram pictures which were revealed were about preparations for the marriage.
Oh, okay.
But she had which is obviously a controversial runner, and she had a white wedding with Violet, which is wonderful. So after a decade together, the couple...
But Violet wore white,
she did.
Right?
Yes.
Violet wore white.
She did.
I'm trying to confuse
you. Unlike your Violet shorts, yes. So after a decade together, the couple held a very traditional ceremony last year, and they're making their marriage official now over the Christmas period, which is lovely.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. These pictures are amazing of them dancing at the ceremony and also of... of Violet in her lovely long white gown.
So some
say yes to the dress, Violet.
Some of our listeners may not know very much about Caster, but she won the 800 metres at the Rio Olympics.
Yes.
And so she's had an amazing year with the wedding and her Olympic gold. And there was a bit of a gender row during the Games because her win came amid complaints by fellow runners about the gender issue with her.
Yes, that's right. Now, in golf, Jason Day made his comeback in Maui, but he wasn't good enough to beat American Justin Thomas and Japanese Hideki Matsuyama. So that is kind of the first tournament of the year. And it was the first time he'd fallen out of the top 10, Jason Day. But, hey, he's got a whole year ahead of him to retain that number one ranking. It's also going to be a tough year for Simona De Silvestro, the yes. first full-time female driver in 32 years in supercars.
Yes.
So she's been warned it's going to be tough for her. It's not easy to come in for the year in the supercars.
No, it's not a sport for the faint-hearted. So good on Simona for moving ahead in that sport.
Yeah, yeah. She had a couple of stints in the Bathurst 1000 as a wildcard entry with her co-driver, Renee Gracie. But now it's full-time. And it's going to be a tough full-time for her. Now, in breaking news there, the World Cup of Soccer, as of 2026,
yes.
it's going to be increased from 32 teams to 48 teams.
Wow, that's yes. huge.
There's been complaints, though, that it may make it too easy, but we'll see.
Anyway, where are the teams coming from, do we know?
Well, they increase the number that can qualify from certain regions, and that means it will increase the Socceroos' chance of qualifying through Asia.
Well, our ranking's quite low, and certainly outside the top.
It's stupid.
But typically, our ranking's low, but we still make it.
I know. No, the ranking system in soccer is weird.
You're on That Sports Show on Joy 94.9. This is the Joy of Summer. Joy 94.9.
What's wild about summer? Actually, not much. I don't like the outside. I don't like heat. But I do love staying inside and listening to Joy.
Summer on Joy 94.9 and online at joy.org.au. You're on That Sports Show on Joy 94.9.
Now, Stu, Graham Hairsine from Melbourne Frontrunners joins us. Hello, Graham. How are you?
Hello, Malcolm.
Come a bit closer to the microphone, darling.
How's that?
That's much better. Sexy voice. you're here to tell us a bit about the Melbourne Frontrunners and then in particular about an event that's coming up.
I am indeed.
All right. So tell us what or who are Melbourne Frontrunners?
The Melbourne Frontrunners are the Melbourne walking and running group. We're an all abilities LGBTI group, and we run three times a week around the Tan, in the Botanic Gardens, and around Albert Park Lake.
So, what are the days of the week that you do that?
Wednesday evening, Saturday mornings, and Sunday mornings.
Fantastic. Okay. Now, how you don't have to be any certain level of ability. You just want to come out and have a jog or a walk, and maybe have a chat and coffee after.
Absolutely. We've got all abilities and we welcome everybody. We even have dog walkers.
Yeah, but also you have specialist training, I understand.
We do. This year we've introduced a coaching program and we've got our own accredited coaches with Athletics Victoria,
mm-hmm.
and they provide regular coaching sessions for the members.
Mm. But it's not compulsory. You can either go for a jog or do training, correct?
Absolutely. You can still walk your dog or you can go running, zipping around there or up and down the hill or have been coached or whatever you want.
Sure. Now, how can we find out about Melbourne Frontrunners?
Well, you can go to our website.
And what's that, Graham?
melbournefrontrunners.com.au.
Oh, it's pretty simple. And is there a Facebook page?
Yes, there is, Melbourne Frontrunners.
There you go. That's good.
Too easy.
Now, Stuart and I know what Front Runner stands for because we know that it was named after a famous book, The Front Runner.
By Patricia Nell Warren.
That's right.
And I met her in Chicago.
And I've got her autograph somewhere. I think it might be the bookmark in my book.
She actually came to the Chicago Gay Games.
She did. And The Front Runner, Graham, was about this young man who was gay and coming out, and it was about the relationship between him and his coach. And he got to the Olympics, fictional Olympics, and there was a sad ending.
There was a sad ending, which we won't spoil for
you. We won't. But the front runner basically is the person goes out hard and leads from the front, and that's how they race. And that's how I race. I'm a front runner.
You are indeed.
I am.
But that sounds like a lot about racing. So, Graham, is it about racing or is it about social or what is it?
Oh, I think it's a real mix. I think we're a very, very social club. I think that's probably one of the... Thank you, Malcolm.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the key successes of the club. I think we're very social, very supportive, and there's a great network of people that are members.
That's right. And the front runners have in the past organised fun runs. There was, remember the Red Ribbon Dash, Stuart?
Yes.
But this year, during midsummer, will be the very first... Pride run.
That's right, yes. So for the first time, we're going to emulate other successful Pride runs in other cities around the world, run by our sister, brother organisations. And we're going to have our first Pride run on Sunday, the 22nd of January.
Yes, and where will it be held?
It will be held around the town in the Botanic Gardens, and it will be one or two laps, and you can walk or you can run, and you can bring your dog if you want, you can bring your parents or your kids. It's going to be very, very inclusive, very family-friendly.
Yeah, fantastic. Now, how can people register for it? Because you've got to register for numbers and permit purposes and stuff.
Sure. Well, it's part of the Midsummer program. So if you've got the Midsummer program already, you can find us in there, or you can find us on the Midsummer website. Or if you go to the website, our own club website, frontrunners.com.au, you'll find the event also posted on there.
Oh, fantastic.
So one lap of the town, that's about 3.8 kilometres.
It is indeed about exactly that, yes.
Yeah, so it's a pretty easy entry-level run for people to do. If they want to walk, they can. If they want to run, they can.
Yeah, and for those people who want to use it as part of their annual running calendar, it's also a great one to do because it's actually quite challenging if you want to go out hard.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's only one hill. Anderson Street.
Well, that's quite a big hill.
Yeah, it's not that bad. Remember, running the other way is harder than running the way where you run up Anderson Street Hill.
True, true.
So it's 3.8 or 7.6,
that's
whether
right.
you run or you walk. I think walking's only one lap, though, isn't it?
I think we're going to do one lap,
yeah.
Yes.
Otherwise, they'll be out there all day. And there are maybe prizes and medals, maybe?
Yes, we are looking at all of that. And we also have some singlets and caps for people who register.
Yes, the brand new Melbourne Front Runners Pride cap and Pride singlet.
Indeed, yes. And this will be the very first one, so it will be a collector's item.
Oh, fantastic.
And Graham, women in front runners, are there many?
About 10% of the club membership is are women, yes.
Okay, and women are welcome for this run?
Absolutely, definitely.
Fantastic.
Well, we're at that sports show, we're very much into promoting women in sport and equality in sport. So, fantastic. So, Graham, any final words?
Please come along and support our first ever Pride run. We're hoping to make it an annual event if we get enough interest in this year. So, yes, come along and join us and have a great time.
And join FrontRunners. It's a fantastic group, really social, a lot of events. We'll certainly be having a big presence in the Pride March this year with a bit of formation dance, as we do.
We shall be at the front of the sports section, I think.
Fantastic.
Yes, definitely. And, you know, come along to the Pride run just to see my purple polka dot shorts, because I'll be wearing them in the Pride run.
With the lovely Cheryl leading us down Fitzroy
She's not
Street.
She's leading us in the Pride run, but she'll be leading
in the march.
In the march to the new song this year with the new theme.
But we're not announcing it.
We're not, because it's
surprise.
Top secret.
For the first time. We better come to training this week, Stuart, so we can learn the dance.
Steps, because we're normally at the back, sort of like following along, but we'd like to be up the front this year.
No, I'm happy to be at the back, because I'm going to carry the speaker.
Good.
Yes. No, because we need the music at the front and the back.
Sounds very professional, doesn't it?
We are.
Very good. Well, thank you, Graham, for joining us on That Sports Show. And happy midsummer.
Happy midsummer.
We'll see you at Carnival on Sunday.
Thanks, Graham.
Thank you.
Thank you. Now, we have a few more sponsorship announcements, and then we will come back and have another song, go straight into a song, and then we'll be talking tennis.
You're on That Sports Show on Joy 94.9.
You take joy to the beach. You take joy in your car. You take joy all summer long.
Now, Joy wants to take you and a friend to Mardi Gras in Sydney. Let Joy sponsors Virgin Airlines fly you up, Airbnb provide the comforts for your stay, and GoGet drive you around in style. Then have the time of your life and celebrate the Mardi Gras parade with a view money can't buy at the Joy 94.9 VIP broadcast. So, want Joy to take you to Mardi Gras? Donate $5 at joy.org.au by Friday, February 17. There's no limit on entries, so enter as many times as you like. The joy of summer. The joy of Mardi Gras. T's and C's at joy.org.au.
You're on That Sports Show on Joy 94.9.
Yes, That Sports Show, Joy 94.9. We're just going to be now playing a tune. Ellie Campbell's Don't Want You Back. Now, Ellie is not my sister. You're on That Sports Show on Joy 94.9. Now, we're going to talk tennis. And, of course, the Australian Open starts next week. So we've had a few lead-up tournaments. The Brisbane International finished off on the weekend. And Karolina Pliskova from the Czech Republic blasted her way through the field and beat easily Elise Cornet from France in the final. But there were some great performances from Ashleigh Barty and Destiny Aiva, Australians, but not so good with our own Sam Stosur, losing in a very tight three set in the first round to Garbiñe Muguruza. Now, also in the first week, which finished up, was the Hopman Cup, the international mixed tournament, and France won that tournament with Kristina Mladenovic and Richard Gasquet beating the American team of Jack Sock and Coco Vandeweghe in the final, after France had beaten Roger Federer and Belinda Bencic of Switzerland in the final group match. Unfortunately, Australia didn't win much there with Nick Kyrgios and Daria Gavrilova. They were unable to win there. They would win one rubber. Now, back to Brisbane. Sorry, Gregor Dimitrov of Bulgaria beat Kei Nishikori in the final. The big upsets came in the semis where the Stan Wawrinka and Milos Raonic were beaten by Dimitrov and Nishikori. Now, this week is the Sydney International and the Hobart International, and there's been a lot of upsets in the women's, definitely, whereas the men's field has been a bit weaker in Sydney. But the women's field has had the top players, and Angelique Kerber, the number one seed was and number one in the world, was beaten by young 19-year-old Russian Daria Kazakina. And look out for her. She's my dark horse pick for the Australian Open. And Joanna Konta, formerly Australian, now British, she's in the semis. And the resurgence of Eugenie Bouchard, who's had three good wins to make the semis. And Barbara Stritsva, Czech veteran. And on court right now is Agnieszka Radwanska, playing Yingying Duan from China. And in the men's, the top seed is Dominic Thiem from Austria, top tenner, but then the other seeds are lesser known players, so we'll see if Dominic Thiem can get through and win that. Now, we have had last week international tournaments in Shenzhen, China. Katerina Siniakova, she won that against Alison Risk. In Chennai in India, Roberto Bautista Agut of Spain won that tournament. Then in Doha, Novak Djokovic and Andy Murray played in the final, and Djokovic won that in what could be a preview of the Australian Open final. And then in Auckland, New Zealand, Lauren Davis, one of the shortest players on the tour, shorter than me, a 5'2" or something, beat Anna Kondju from Croatia in the final. This week there is, of course, as I said, Sydney, Hobart and the tournament in Auckland for men. Now, in some breaking news, Maria Sharapova, Stuart, yes, has been provided a wild card, wow, to this tournament in Stuttgart, clay court indoors, in April for her return.
Right.
Now, obviously, this is the sign. We did mention this in the past, and would the tournaments want her or not? They want her,
they
because
want
she's
her.
Going to put bums on seats and bring money
and
in.
So is it 12 months since the suspension?
It's a 15-month ban, and okay, she will start her comeback at the tournament in Stuttgart.
Well, great news for Sharapova fans.
Yes, because there's a lot of them out there. So the Stuttgart tournament is in late April. April, 24th of April it starts. So good news there. Now, Tess has some breaking news for us on the tennis front about naughty people in tennis. Tell us about that, Tess.
I do, and unfortunately they're Aussie players as well.
Oh, dear.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
So player Nick Lindell has been given a 7-year ban by the Tennis Integrity Unit and also fined $49,000 upon being found guilty of corruption. It dates back to the ITF Futures Tournament in Toowoomba in September 2013, and back then, just before he retired, he was convicted of using corrupt conduct and fined $1,000 for match fixing. He's now banned from all professional tennis until 2024, and fellow Aussie Oliver Anderson is also charged with match fixing at an event in regional Victoria.
That was in Traralgon last year. He's only 18 and he won the Australian Juniors last January, and he is now obviously been enticed by money to tank a set so that the betting could change. Now, that has brought to the fore some of the tennis greats have been calling for higher prize money in the lower tiered tournaments and also in qualifying, so that they don't get enticed. Because if you're a Djokovic or you're a Serena Williams and you're winning tournaments, well, you're winning millions of dollars. But anyone outside the top 100, they're not winning much money and they're struggling. And they're struggling, Tess. And so there's calls for the lower ranked tournaments and the early round defeated people to win more and share some of the money around that the winners of the Grand Slams are getting. They're getting $2-3 million for winning the tournament.
Fair enough too.
Yeah, yeah. So that's interesting news there. Now, excuse me. We are going to be talking Brazilian sport soon. We've got a little bit more on tennis. The Australian Open draw will be made this Friday.
Because the tournament starts on, is it the 18th?
Which is next Monday.
Five days.
Very soon.
16th.
On the 16th, that's right, Tess.
The countdown.
Yeah, and the qualifying tournament actually has started. And there are Aussies in the qualifying tournaments, and entry is free. You can go down to Melbourne Park and watch the qualifying. It started yesterday, and it goes right through till Friday. So Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then once the matches have been played and won, then they make the draw.
It's nice and close to the city as well, so people can nick down during the lunchtime and see a bit of action on the outside courts.
Well, they play into the evening too, Stuart. There's certainly something for people to go and watch some high-class tennis. They may not be well-known names. Oh, there's a couple of former highly ranked players playing. Radek Stepanek from Czech Republic.
Yes.
And Daniela Hantuchová. Ranking is so low that she's now having to try and qualify. And there's some Aussie girls that are in there, like Olivia Rogowska, Abby Myers, Nikitha Baines, Tammy Patterson. I'm trying to remember them. And then in the men, there's JP Smith and there's Matt Reed and there's
A lot of Aussies in action in that tournament.
Max Purcell,
if you're
Mark Polman.
You might even see some stars who are already practicing.
That's
like Venus Williams was there yesterday.
Wow.
Yeah.
36, and she's still ranked 16th, which is amazing.
That's right. I saw that. I saw some vision, and people were giving her arm massages, and she was getting sun cream.
She's always going to be dangerous, Venus, isn't she?
Well, depends which Venus turns up, the one that's flawless or the one that makes a lot of errors. And same with Serena. So we'll see there. Now, who's your early pick, Stuart, for the Australian Open for the men? Murray, Djokovic, or someone else?
Look, I think it's always the top guys that make it. Wawrinka, Murray, Djokovic.
Oh, you love Stan. Stan loves colourful shorts. And talking of that, we've actually got a message. Chum has come in and said, I have the front runner book, good read for me. And Mal, your shorts are fab and those legs, see, I've got a fan.
I think that was actually Ian who sent that. So thanks, Ian. Yeah. Obviously, you can't see, so that's how he's come up with that.
Oh, okay, right. Okay, yes. Where were we, Stuart? I've lost.
You're going to go to some sponsorship announcements, and then we're going to talk about Brazil.
No, let's talk about Brazil.
Okay.
You talk Brazil with Rodrigo. I'll hand over to you.
Okay, thank you, Malcolm. So we're fortunate to have Rodrigo Reis in the studio this evening. Obviously, it's been a massive year for Brazil. That's where Rodrigo's from. He's from Rio. So welcome to the studio, Rodrigo.
Hi, everyone. Hi, Stu. Mo and Tess.
So, Rodrigo, the Olympics were a great event in Brazil. We heard a lot of stories that they may not have succeeded in terms of organisation, but they ended up being quite a significant success. What would you say?
Well, Olympics is always a great event and have everybody from all over the world at the same time together in the same place is always fantastic.
And the organisation of the Games, they went well?
Well, despite the
Zika virus, and there were issues with stadiums not being ready in time.
Exactly.
Protests.
Bad predictions, too. We had great times there.
Fantastic. Now, they were the gayest Games ever, based on what we are reading in the media. The number of LGBTI-identifying athletes, so publicly out athletes, was around 53 in Rio, and in particular there were some Brazilian athletes. So do you want to talk about some of those?
Well, before we get to that, Anna certainly covered that during the Olympics when you were
overseas
and talked all about it. It was one of her topics. Hello to you, Anna. You're listening up there in Albury.
So Rodrigo, living in Brazil, what was the response to some of those gay athletes and what they said during the Games?
Well, as you said, this Olympics was the most gay Olympics in whole history of the Games. We have lots of demonstrations for the athletes about their sexuality. And this is very important to the community and to sports, too.
That's wonderful. So, in fact, some of those athletes, there was Brazil's first gold medal was won by Rafaela Silva in judo, who is lesbian, and she talked about her girlfriend to the media for the first time. From other countries, there was British race walker Tom Bosworth, who finished sixth in the 20-kilometre final, setting a personal best and a British record. Days later, he proposed to his boyfriend on the beach, who said yes.
That was exciting. I saw vision of that.
That was. There was a Brazilian rugby sevens player, Isadora Cerullo, and a number of other athletes, which was wonderful. Now, turning to another massive sport in Brazil, which is what we call soccer, what you call football.
Uh-huh.
It's just huge in Brazil as a sport.
Yes, it's the most popular sport in Brazil. We hope with the Olympic Games, other sports have more space in Brazil. But soccer, we call football in Brazil, is the most important in most popular sport.
Yep. Now, one of the stories we ran earlier on this program was that Cristiano Ronaldo, the Portuguese player, was just announced as the FIFA Player of the Year. Now, there's a Ronaldinho. Am I right there as well?
Yes, we have lots of Ronaldos on soccer. But, you know, I don't care if Cristiano Ronaldo is Portuguese because with that look, he can say all
anything
he wants.
He wants.
I had him first.
Now,
I want him first.
Now the athlete who finished second in that was Messi, and he's an Argentinian player. Is that correct?
Yes, Argentinian.
So tell me about the rivalry between Brazil and Argentina in soccer.
Well, Messi is Argentinian. Nobody's perfect. Just
that's
kidding.
Like Sydney Melbourne rivalry, or Hobart,
New Zealand,
or Hobart Launceston.
Yeah.
But for our Tasmanian listeners listening online,
does Brazil want Argentina to succeed in soccer?
Well, Argentina have one of the biggest sports schools, football schools, or soccer schools in the world.
Yes.
And Messi is amazing. He is absolutely beautiful playing. I think everybody knows Messi. Everybody had an opportunity to see.
Yes.
And he's spectacular.
Yeah. So if Brazil are not playing Argentina, if Argentina are playing another country, are Brazilians supportive of Argentina?
Of course, because Brazil, I think, it's important to have Argentina in competitions because we love to hate Argentina.
Ah.
Yeah, now but if Argentina were playing, say, Colombia, who would you support?
Sorry?
If Argentina were playing Colombia in football, which team would you support?
You're putting me in a difficult situation.
Why, does Brazilians hate Colombians as well?
Well, mainly now because Argentina is a traditional
rival
yeah. of Brazil, but Colombia was amazing with all Brazilian people in this tragic episode.
That's
yes.
right.
Yeah. So getting to that, because some of our listeners won't be aware of that, can you take us through what occurred there?
And people from Colombia is absolutely gorgeous because offer a support.
Miss Universe came from Colombia.
Lots of Miss Universe. Everybody knows about the beauty of Colombians.
Yes.
But it's people with a giant heart, you know, give us support in this tragic moment. Mm-hmm. In this support was amazing because Colombian people made Brazilians feel like family, you know.
Yes. So we're talking about the plane crash that occurred, and what was the name of the team that was involved?
The team is called Chapecoense because it's from a city called Chapecó. Chapecó is a very young team, and it's growing now.
Yes.
Was growing now.
And where is that city?
Chapecó.
Where is it?
It's Santa Catarina.
And how far from Sao Paulo or Rio is it?
Santa Catarina is a state in south of Brazil.
Yes.
And in fact, Chapecoense is not a big one. It's not one of the big ones teams in Brazil, but start to grow recently because have had good results in last championship.
Mm-hmm.
And that team had against all odds done very well in the South American championships. Is that correct?
Well, Chapecoense.
Well, they made the final, the continental final.
Yes, Chapecoense had excellent results.
Mm-hmm.
So start to be famous.
Mm.
And this tragedy was very sad because these two. Our team was very young, and we lose the big part of the team.
Mm.
And the city was devastated.
Mm.
And our country was devastated with this accident. And we feel... But this is have a positive way too because we feel support from all over the world. Lots of countries demonstrate this support for us, and this was very great.
So turning to other matters broader than sport. So, Rodrigo, you've been travelling around Australia for the last 2 or 3 weeks and you've
yes.
experienced Christmas in Australia. You've gone to Sydney and gone out to some clubs in Sydney. You've gone to the Tropical Fruits events in
yeah.
Lismore. What are your reflections on Australian culture and how would you compare and contrast to Brazil?
Well, it's my first time here in Australia, and
Australia. Love it. I love your accent. It's so sexy.
In Brazil, Australia is sympathetic for us because we see lots of similarities.
Oh yeah.
Between two countries, the beach culture,
yeah.
the smiling people,
mm-hmm.
The good vibes. You know. And we think...
And the sexy men.
Oh, it's impressive because... Here,
and sexy women.
Too. Here in Australia, everybody looks like supermodels. Impressive.
Fantastic.
And did you enjoy the Tropical Fruits event that was put on up there in Lismore?
In fact, was the biggest party like that I ever been in all my life.
Mm-hmm.
Was fantastic. And... Everybody enjoyed the party in a good way, with good vibes, as friends, and this is amazing. In the other parties after, the pool party and the second party night was great too.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Fantastic. Now, Rodrigo, we hope to see you back in the country in the near future. Now, thanks for joining us on That Sport Show with Stu and Mal. Stuart?
It's been a great opportunity to speak to someone from Brazil who's lived through all these wonderful things because we've been talking about Brazil nonstop.
Oh, we have.
For the
Rio,
last
Rio,
year.
Rio. Where
so,
we?
So thank you very much for wrapping it all up for us.
That's right. Rio, Rio, Rio. It's now 2017, and we'll be talking about Miami.
So but thanks for joining us,
thank
Rodrigo.
Thank you, Rodrigo.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Tess.
That's all right. Now, we have people listening down at Melbourne Park Tennis Centre because someone who works there has called in to say that the qualifying will go through onto Saturday, and if there are rain delays during the week, they'll possibly be played on Sunday. So maybe the draw might be finally made on the Sunday rather than on Friday.
So thanks, Robert, from the office of the Tennis Centre.
I know, Robert's from out there at the desk.
That's our Robert.
That's right. So there you go. We are going to talk a bit of footy now, Stuart.
Yes.
Our very last time of boys talking footy.
Yes.
Now,
a bit's happened this week too.
Yes, sad news, actually. James Heard had a health crisis. He was taken to hospital mid last week, or during the night of our show, I think, for a suspected drug overdose. And he first went to Cabrini and... it was 10 o'clock, so it was after our show. So to Cabrini, and then he was transferred to a private clinic where his situation is being monitored. Now, Tanya Heard, his wife, says she would wish to express our appreciation for the public support that has been given to James and our family since the news of his hospitalisation became known. And at this time, James and our family are in need of privacy, and we ask that the privacy be respected, and we particularly ask that the media currently gathered at our house give us some respect. And of course, James's health is the primary focus and concern. And of course, that was the only comment that Tanya Heard made last Thursday afternoon, and we haven't had any comments since, apart from just speculation in the media and people saying that they should respect. The media sometimes do go a bit hard on people, and some of them are affected by it.
Yes. Well, best wishes from the station to James Heard in his recovery from that event.
Yes.
Definitely. Our thoughts are with him.
Yes. Thank you, Tess. Now, moving on with a little bit more football, in all codes, some coaches will be under the pump in 2017, not just AFL, but in NRL and in A-League and Rugby Union. So in the AFL, Nathan Buckley was asked last August about his chances of remaining Collingwood coach if they failed to make the finals again in 2017. There's no way, he said in a candid response. Since he's taken over at the Magpies in 2012, they've slipped steadily down the ladder and have missed the top eight for the last three seasons. The first 2 months of the season for this year will probably tell their story, and with the games against all four 2016 preliminary finalists. So they've got a tough start there, Collingwood. I've never been a Collingwood fan, as I'm an Essendon fan. So, Tess is as well. So, two of us at the moment. Stuart, I know you're a Tigers fan. Is Rodrigo a Tigers fan now because of his visit to Australia?
Well, he doesn't know much about Australian rules football at this point, but I suspect he will become a Richmond fan, yes.
Oh, okay. Pity he'll miss the first AFL women's game.
He will.
It's just going to be on after he goes. Now, Damien Hardwick, Richmond coach, your coach, three straight elimination final losses meant that the heat was on Richmond last year, and they went backwards. The Tigers won only eight games, their worst return since 2011. The recruiting of Neil Baum as football manager should help Damien Hardwick. Baum is one of the AFL's top football department bosses. Now, of course, Damien Hardwick was an ex-Essendon player.
Yes, and we had a lot of issues on the board, so let's hope all that's resolved for the next season.
That's right. And then briefly in NRL, St George Illawarra coach Paul McGregor is under the pump, and Des Hasler is also under the pump as well. Now, in A-League, Guillermo Amor, the man who brought Adelaide their first championship last season, is now favourite to be the A-League's next unemployed coach after a deplorable start to his title defence. They've only won one in 13 matches, and they are on the bottom. So we'll see what happens. And Tony Popovich, a former Socceroo, has only had two wins for his Western Sydney Wanderers halfway through. Now, Michael Checker is the coach of the Australian Rugby Union team, and they only won six out of 15 tests and they dropped from one spot to third in the world rankings. So we'll see what happens with him. And Darryl Gibson is the New South Wales Rugby Union coach. And who knows what will happen with the Waratahs. Now, Tess has a little bit of rugby for us.
I have both rugby and AFL.
Oh, good.
Yep. So with the rugby, on the 11th and 12th of February at Suncorp Stadium, there's the Brisbane Global Rugby Tens, 300 star players and 14 teams. And further AFL news...
When again was that? Sorry, Tess?
11th and 12th of Feb.
Thank you. Thank you.
And further AFL news, good news for Hawks fans with Jago O'Meara as their star recruit. He looks to be back in April, which is better than they thought. And it's his long-awaited return from his career-threatening knee injuries, and he's only 22.
Similar age to you, Tess?
Yes, just a bit older than me. And
just a touch.
Very impressive running and his skills work at the training camp in Mooloolaba late last month.
Right. Fiona, the skipper of Chicks Talking Footy, will be pleased with that as she's a Hawks fan. Again, reminding everyone that Chicks Talking Footy return next week, 8:30 p.m. on Joy 94.9. It's currently 6 minutes to nine on that sports show. We're coming to an end of our final one-hour show for the summer season. Have had a big show tonight, Stuart. We've talked cricket, we've talked soccer, we've talked cycling, we've talked wedding bells for Custis and Enya.
We have.
Golf and supercars, and then, of course, we've also added a bit more extra news, hot news off the press from Tess about cricket and the World Cup soccer.
We heard from Graham from Melbourne Frontrunners about the Pride Run, which is going to be part of the Midsummer Festival, which kicks off this Sunday. You can read about that event in the Midsummer Guide.
That's right, online, midsummer.org.au. And the Pride Run is on Sunday, the 22nd of January, at the TAN, at what they call the Pillars of Wisdom, opposite the Swan Street Bridge.
Down along the river there.
Yeah, 8:30 a.m.
Seen a lot of triumphs of us, Malcolm, over the years.
Yep, and then we talked tennis about last week's results in Brisbane and the Hopman Cup, and the ongoing tournaments in Sydney and Hobart, as well as international tournaments. And Tess brought us up to date with the bannings and suspensions for Nick Lindahl and possible for Oliver Anderson. And we also announced that Maria Sharapova is making her comeback. We've then had Rodrigo Hayes.
Yes.
I got it right.
You did.
In the studio talking to us about Brazil's sporting endeavours in the last year. And then, of course, we've tried to be boys talking footy, Stuart.
We've crossed the line. Yeah.
We have. And Tess brought us a bit of rugby news and soccer news. And it's time to say goodbye on Joy 94.9.
You're on That Sport Show on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.